I'm very glad that you came to this link today. I don't claim to be a wise man. I'm not remarkable in any way. But I've been given an important message that I'd really like to share. This message won't make me any money, and it won't cost you any money. But it may be the most valuable piece of information that you've ever heard. I'd like to start by first asking you, what do you need most? This question could be answered in as many different ways as there are people. You might say love. You might say money. Depending on your condition, it's hard to know what you would say. But people are not the experts in what they need. In fact, you can give most people everything that they think they need, and they'll still end up unhappy. I think that's why so many of the rich and famous spend so much money on psychologists and psychiatrists. Most of us don't know what we need. But we aren't left adrift in life without any answers. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Many people have heard this, but most don't know why. Now let me ask you, if there is a God, and I believe without a doubt there is, and if he sent his Son to meet a need, and I believe without a doubt that he did, would you not think the need he came to meet is our greatest need? I believe it is. So why did Christ come to this planet? Matthew 9, verse 10 says, "Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So why did Christ come to this planet? He came to call sinners to repentance. In another place, it says he came to save his people from their sins. And we learn from what Jesus said, what Jesus did not come to the planet for. He did not come to call the righteous. What this means is that Christ did not come to do business with those people who are satisfied with their lives. He didn't come to save good people. And people who see themselves as basically good don't see what Christ is all about. It's very popular in our day to treat Jesus as just a good moral teacher whose teachings would make our world a much happier place. And those theories are spread by people who don't understand Jesus at all. Those theories are spread by people who don't see the real problem, so they have no interest in the real solution. What Christ really came for was a rescue mission to save sinners from their sins. This is very bad news for people who see themselves as very good people. One thing's for sure, he did not come for them in that state. In order for them to truly hear what Christ has to say, they must somehow be given the supernatural insight into their true state of being. The Bible says that everyone's a sinner. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," the Bible says. And Scripture tells us that we didn't sin by mistake. We sinned like a dog barks. He does what he does because he is what he is. Every man is born as a child of the first man, Adam. When Adam sinned, he doomed every man and woman to be born in a state of sinfulness. Now, this might be hard for us to swallow, but let me ask you a few questions. First, how do you explain the world's situation, the world's condition? Our world preaches that information will set men free. Information is what they need to do better and be better. Really? We have more information than mankind has ever had, and we have ways of dispersing that information more rapidly than ever. Have wars stopped? Have dictators stopped ruling? Has starvation slowed? Has human kindness won the day? Information has done nothing to improve the human race because the lack of information is not our primary problem. The problem with us is that we were born sinners. We were born with an inclination to sin that goes clear to our hearts. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone likes every sin. Most of us have favorites, so we may live very civil lives for the most part. But the real us comes out in the face of our strongest desires. We find, if we're honest, that we are all capable of the greatest kinds of evil. And the truth is, in our natural state, we can't stop from sinning. Now, I said, first we'll talk about the world situation. Now let's get more personal. What about your life? Let's do the DVD test. Suppose I have a DVD of your whole life. It shows everything that you have ever done. You can hear the soundtrack of everything that you have ever said. And you can read the subtitles of every thought that you have ever had. What would you like me to do with that DVD? I've never met a wise person yet who suggested anything but destroying that DVD. Why? We know what we're made of. We know the us that we won't admit. We know by experience that the Bible has us pegged. We're sinners. Do you know what? That is the most important realization of your life. Do you know why? Seeing yourself as a sinner is the only prerequisite for being saved by Christ. It's odd, but that is the only thing that you bring to God's picnic. You bring your need. You don't bring anything of worth to give to God. You simply bring your need. I come to Christ just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. When you see yourself as a sinner, there is hope that maybe he came for you. After all, he came to call sinners to repentance. Let's take another look at the people Christ came to save. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. Look just how good a man this Pharisee was. This Pharisee had a list of sins he had not committed. He could pat himself on the back for how he hadn't committed so many of the sins of those around him. He could measure his life and say, I'm not so bad. At least I'm not as bad as most people. My sins are not so great. They probably don't even matter. I probably impress God with how good I am. I even sacrifice more stuff than I'm really required to. So I'm cool with God. 2,000 years have passed and nothing has changed. This is how much of the world's population sees itself. And what's interesting is that you can go to a prison and speak to some of the most brutal criminals and they'll tell you the same story, if you can get them to tell you what they really think. They aren't as bad as somebody else. But what does God say? God says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners from the day of our birth. So what about the tax collector? What about this man who had taken the worst possible occupation of any Israelite? A tax collector was a Jewish person who had sold out to the Roman government. In a Jew's mind in that day, the tax collector was a traitor to the nation of Israel. So what did Jesus, the Son of God of Abraham, say about the evil tax collector? Verse 13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector is the hero of Jesus' story. Why? He knew the truth about himself, and he knew what to do about it. He didn't create a list of all the sins he never did. He focused on the sins he was guilty of, and he was pierced with his own guilt. He knew that the sins were only the symptom of his problem. His problem is that he himself was the sinner. The Holy Spirit of God worked in this man's heart and drove him to repent of his sins. He cried out to God for the forgiveness that he so desperately needed. And you see, that is what we all need. That is what Christ came to provide. He came to save us from our sins. You might think you need 100 things. But in reality, there is only one thing that you need. You need to come to Christ to have your sins forgiven and to be made a new person. What good news that is. What good news we have. If you know you are a sinner, the biggest hurdle spiritually is over for you. Now call out to Christ to save you, and he will. You see, Christ came to this world for this purpose. We're all sinners. Our sin demands the death penalty, eternal death. And each of us fully deserves it. We were sinners when we were born because of Adam's sin. And the first chance we got, we wholeheartedly joined in the same kind of sin as Adam did. So we had a problem that we could not solve. In fact, we had two problems. We had the record of our sins, and we had the state of being as a sinner. We had the problem of what we had done, and we had the problem with what we were. And that's what Christ came to solve. First, Christ died and took the penalty for every sin of every person who would ever come to him. He took our sin, the only innocent man, the only sinless man, the only perfect man, and he paid the full penalty for that sin. He died for that sin. He died so that we did not have to. He tasted God's wrath so we could avoid God's wrath. Christ removed the penalty from the sins that we had committed. And then he raised from the dead. And he uses that same power, the scripture says, to make believers new creations. He recreates us. He takes sons of Adam and makes us sons of Christ. We were in Adam, but now we are in Christ. He solves the problem of what we did, and he solves the problem of what we are. He regenerates all those that he came to save. He gives them new life. Do you see today that this is what you need? If so, this is your most blessed day. If you, as a sinner, will call upon Christ to save you from your sin, he will. In fact, simply the desire to call on him is evidence that God has already worked upon your heart. Praise God. Simply believe that Christ's sacrifice counted for you and receive him as Savior and King of your life. This is every person's greatest need. And this is the need that Christ came to meet, but only for sinners like us.